Thank you, Melissa Houston, our missionary. Wonderful song, and sure glad you got to sing while you were here. If you have your Bibles, and I hope you do, go with me to Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22. It's really our habit around here to preach through books of the Bible or chapters of the Bible, but every once in a while, there's a topic that we'll look at because we feel like it's important for the moment that we're in. So for the next 2 or 3 weeks, I want to start a topical study. It's called Terms and Conditions, Glorifying God in the Digital Age. I want to talk to you tonight about loving God with your smartphone. Have you ever even thought about that? How to love God with your smartphone? I'm a part of the first generation who grew up with a cell phone in my pocket. I remember when I was growing up, my dad had a phone that he could put in his car and he would carry it in. It wasn't really a cell phone, it was more a car phone. Then when I got old enough to drive, my parents bought me one of those blue Nokia bricks. Do you remember that? It had no internet access. It took forever to text someone. If you wanted to text the letter C, you had to push the 2 button 3 times just to get C to come up. I almost never had cell phone service. It did have a game, one game, the snake game. Anybody remember that? And I spent hours playing that dumb game, probably my first sign that cell phones could be addictive. I remember the very first time I saw the iPhone commercial. It said, it's not the watered-down internet or kind of like the internet. It's the internet on your phone. And you remember people were lining up by the hundreds at the electronics store to buy these things? I remember saying to my friend, I don't understand what the big deal is. It's just a cell phone. Well, it kind of was a big deal. Because now in one device, you had an alarm clock. You had a flashlight. You had a GPS. You had a camera. You had a messaging device. You had a mobile bank. And, oh yeah, you had a cell phone. And it was all combined into one thing that you could slip in your pocket and carry it with you everywhere you went. Since the iPhone came out, let's be honest, we've been hooked on our smartphones. The average U.S. adult spends 3 hours and 43 minutes a day on their phones. That's not tablets or laptops. It's just the phone. The average American checks their phone 58 times a day. And that sounds unreasonable until you think about how many times you actually click your phone to see if you got a message throughout the course of a day. What I'd like to do is I'd like to do a survey. I want to find out about the phone usage of the people at Worth Baptist Church, okay? And there are no right or wrong answers. I'm not going to shame anybody here tonight. You need to know that. So just be honest, okay? I'm curious, how many of you use your phone as an alarm clock? Would you raise your hand? You know what that means? It means your phone is probably the first thing you look at in the morning and the last thing you look at before you go to bed at night. That's interesting, isn't it? How many of you use your phone as your primary camera? Remember when we used to actually buy digital cameras or disposable cameras? We don't do that anymore. How many of you have ever used your phone to order food? Yeah, me too. How many of you ever use your phone as a payment? You just click the phone. Well, that's so convenient. How many of you use your phone as your primary means of banking? I have not been to the bank in months. Now, again, this is not a shame thing. This is fine, okay? How many of you have ever used your phone for online dating? It's better to date online than it is to meet at a bar, okay? And notice, most of the single young people in this room raised their hand. And most people now are using their phones as the primary way to meet people that they're going to eventually marry. How many of you use your phone as your primary GPS? Boy, what did we do without it? You remember that website, MapQuest? Yeah. They went out of business, I think, in 2014, okay? How many of you have ever used your phone to read your Bible before? Yeah, absolutely. Now, I don't want you to raise your hand for this question. I wonder how many of you take your phone with you to the restroom. Don't answer that. No, I would not like to use your phone to take a picture of you, okay? I don't want to touch that thing, all right? Now think about what we all just admitted, and I'm with you today. Our phone is the first thing we look at when we wake up in the morning and the last thing we look at before we go to sleep at night. You use your phone to entertain you, communicate with your loved ones. Many of you have used your phone to find a spouse. Your phone feeds you, guides you, and funds your lifestyle. Most of us would say that a smartphone is not a want, it's a need. It's something we feel like we have to have. And by the way, that's exactly what Samsung and Apple and Amazon and Facebook want you to think. In 2016, Time magazine called the iPhone the most important gadget of all time. Think about that.
Did you know that the microprocessor in your phone is made up of over 16 billion transistors and conducts more energy per second per gram than a volcano or even the sun? It is the most important tool and the most powerful tool that you possess. It is a tool that can be used in some great ways and some not so great ways. With your phone, you can stay in touch with family. You can encourage a widow or a shut-in. You can share an invitation to open house, copy and paste a Bible verse, listen to a sermon or a podcast. With your phone, you can troll and defame people online. Watch videos about deconstructing your faith. You can use your phone to isolate yourself from actual people. You can use it to spread lies and conspiracy theories. You can use it to view pornography. Your smartphone has the potential for great good and great evil, and we need to know tonight how to wisely use them. Now, in Luke chapter 6, the Lord Jesus gave a famous statement. He said that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A 2022 translation, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth tweets, or the mouth posts, or the mouth grams. You see, folks, your smartphone is an extension of your heart. It really reveals your heart. There are two beings in the universe who really know the contents of your heart tonight. God and the poor sap who mines your data for Facebook. That guy really knows you. He knows you better than your spouse knows you. He knows you better than your pastor knows you. He knows you better than your children know you. We used to say that character is who you are when only you and God are looking. Character is who you are in the dark. Let's just say it this way from now on. Character is who you are when you are on your phone. Because with just a few swipes and scrolls, you can be anywhere your heart wants to take you. Do you want to know the real condition of your heart? Look at your phone and it will tell you. Tonight we're going to talk about how to love God with this powerful tool called the smartphone. Let's look at Matthew chapter 22. We'll begin our reading in verse number 34. When the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, "Master, which is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." And you may be asking, what in the world does that passage have to do with a smartphone? And by the way, that's the right question, and I hope you're asking that question. In this famous passage, Jesus reveals that what God really wants from us is the totality of our love. He wants us to love him with all that we are. We are to love God with what our hearts feel, with what our souls desire, and with what our minds think upon. And I'm convinced that there is one force shaping our feelings, desires, and thoughts more than any other force, and that is our phones. So if we're going to love God with the totality of our being, then we need to love God with the way that we manage our devices tonight. And I just want to talk about a few of the things that our smartphones reveal about our love for God tonight. I want you to notice in the first place that our phones reveal whether we are truly devoted to God. Our phones reveal whether we are truly devoted to God. Do you understand this? And I'm trying to be simple and practical tonight. To really walk with God, you have to be able to tune out distractions and focus on God and focus on his word and focus on prayer. The Bible says that the man Moses communed with God. He spoke to God the way that a man might speak to his friend. You know the story. When they were in the wilderness, Moses would often leave the camp. He would go outside the camp. He would go to the tent of meeting, a place where he could talk to God, a place where he was free from the distractions of the many people that he was leading. Daniel was an important man in the court of the Medes and Persians. But if you'll remember, it was his habit every day to go to his room, shut the door to the world, open up the windows towards Jerusalem, and pray and talk to God three times a day. That habit was so habitual that Daniel's enemies used it against him, and he ended up in the lion's den as a result. You remember that? The Bible tells us that the Lord Jesus often departed into a solitary place. Maybe it was a mountain, or maybe it was by the sea. And he did that for the purpose of spending uninterrupted time with his heavenly Father. Many of you know that he would pray often all night long. The Lord Jesus was busy. People were constantly making demands of his time. Crowds followed him everywhere. Sick folks were always showing up. If Jesus had a cell phone, it would have buzzed all the time. But he refused to allow distraction to sidetrack him from communion with God. Throughout the epistles, we learn about the prayer life of the Apostle Paul. You'll be reading along in Ephesians or Philippians, and all of a sudden, he'll just break out into a spontaneous prayer for the church. The book of Acts records that he prayed when he was imprisoned at Philippi at the midnight hour. Even in a jail cell, even with men all around him, he was so devoted to the disciplines of prayer and worship that he would not miss it. To say it simply, folks, it takes a great amount of time and focus to have a meaningful relationship with God. I'm not talking about a 5-minute drive-through devotion. I'm not talking about a prayer before you eat or a prayer before you go to bed tonight. I'm talking about really communing with the Lord God. To get something out of your Bible, you need to be able to sit down and read the Word of God, look up words, and write a few notes down. To really spend a meaningful time in prayer, you need to be able to push past mental distraction and concentrate on the person of God and on the people for whom you're praying for. It takes time and focus and energy to really get a hold of God. And I'm afraid that those are skills that we are losing in this generation. Someone wrote, "It is difficult to serve God with our hearts, souls, and minds when we are diverted and distracted and multitasking everything." Another author said, "Our spiritual condition today is one of spiritual ADD. We have lost the ability to focus. We've lost the ability to think deeply, to pray deeply." I wonder, folks, if this has been your experience. You sit down to have your devotion times. You pull out the Bible. You pull out your pen. Maybe you put on some soft music. You read through the text one time and a verse jumps off the page. What you don't know is that the Holy Spirit is about to speak to you. He's about to take you to the next step in your spiritual life. And wouldn't you know it, just at that time you hear that annoying ding, someone is texting you. Have you ever been here? You got down on your knees to pray. You were desperate for God to work in a certain situation in your life. You tried to push past that mental distraction. And let's be honest, it takes 4 or 5 minutes for any of us to really get in an attitude of prayer. It takes me that long just to chase down all the rabbits that are running through my mind, okay? So you finally push through there. You're not distracted. You're really zeroed in and you're focused. And wouldn't you know it, that phone starts buzzing in your pocket. There's an urgent email for you to answer. There's an urgent text message for you to respond to. 45 minutes later, you're up off your knees. You're working for the day, and you have not prayed at all. I would submit to you that more often than not, that is the spiritual experience of most Christians living in 2022. You know, folks, if we're checking our phones 58 times a day, we're distracted. The average person spends 2 hours and 32 minutes a day on social media. In a survey of over 8,000 Christians, 73% said that they regularly checked social media before they had their daily time with God. 73%. As one preacher said, one of the great uses of Twitter and Facebook will be to prove at the last day that prayerlessness was not from a lack of time. That's true. To say it simply, we're addicted to distraction. And the kind of deep Bible study and deep thought and deep prayers that leads to meaningful spiritual growth is often swept away in a tide of pointless notifications and distractions. You say, "Pastor, what's the point?" We need to start using some wisdom in how much we're on our phones and how often we check our phones. Amen. Let's make it personal. Do you have a daily time when, like Daniel, you shut the door to the world, even the virtual world, and you open the windows of your mind and heart to God and give him your undivided attention? Christian, do you think and study the Word of God and pray deeply. Do we even know how to do that anymore? We have a generation of Christians who are a mile wide and an inch deep. And I think distraction is the greatest enemy we are facing in real spiritual progress, both as individuals and as churches. And the truth of the matter is that I haven't even been talking for 10 minutes, and some of you have already checked your phone because you're addicted to distraction. Our smartphones reveal some things about our hearts. And one of the things that it reveals tonight is it reveals whether we are truly devoted to a real relationship with God or not. I want you to notice in the second place, our phones not only reveal our devotion to God, our phones also reveal our devotion to holiness. Our devotion to holiness. Holiness is not a dirty word, or at least it shouldn't be. Listen to 1 Peter 1:15 and 16. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. That word just means your lifestyle. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. I just want to say it simply. God is a holy God, and he expects his people to be holy.
Amen.
Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We were having our devotions as a family the other day, and I was explaining these verses. We've been reading through the book of Romans every evening. And as you work your way through that book, you are reading about the incredible sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross so you could be justified and so you could have peace with God. It is a cross-centered, it is a gospel-centered book. And when you get to Romans chapter 12, Paul is saying it's not just enough to believe the gospel, you have to become like the gospel. And the whole sacrifice that Christ made for you on the cross is to motivate you to be a whole sacrifice for the Lord Jesus. Jesus was not a partial sacrifice. He was a total sacrifice. And there is really no such thing as a Christian who should be partially surrendered to the Lord. God isn't looking for dead sacrifices anymore, but he is looking for living sacrifices who will be wholly surrendered to him.
Amen.
And when you are wholly surrendered to him, it means your body is a living sacrifice. Let me say it this way. It means that your eyes belong to Jesus, so what you look at is surrendered to him. It means that your ears are surrendered to Jesus, so what you listen to is surrendered to him. It means your hands are surrendered to Jesus. So what you do with those hands and where you scroll and where you click and where your thumb takes you, that belongs to Jesus. Your feet are surrendered to Jesus. So everywhere you go is surrendered to him. And Paul says, if you live like that, you will not be like the world. People will think you're weird. People will think you are a little different. But let me tell you what will happen. With your life, you will prove that the will of God is good and acceptable and perfect.
Amen.
God is looking for some total sacrifices tonight, not some partial sacrifices. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 5, ye have heard that it was said of them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. I know this is kind of a serious topic, but I feel it's important tonight. Pornography is by far the largest and most lucrative industry online. The statistics about Christian men and Christian women who regularly access pornography increase every year. The latest ones are staggering. 68% of Christian men have accessed pornography on their device in the last 30 days. That's 7 out of 10 men who are gathered in this room. This is an epidemic. Guys, Jesus said it would be better for us to crush our phones and cast out our eyes than to continue in a lifestyle of pornography addiction.
Amen.
You want to know what's really going on? Here's what's really going on. Satan is attacking an entire generation of men. an entire generation of men who ought to be the spiritual leaders in their homes and their spiritual leaders in their churches. And he has put the tool of their destruction in their own pocket. And because these phones are so new and so novel and we haven't had them long, we just don't know how dangerous they really are. But I bet 50 years from now, people will have discovered how dangerous they are. I want to remind you, men, that our Creator is no respecter of privacy laws. There is no secret or incognito mode on your browser that can keep him out. You can scrub your internet history, but you cannot scrub the record books in heaven. And we can lock our spouses and our accountability partners out of our phone, but I promise you, God has the password. And I know it's sobering, but we will meet every click and every scroll and every website again when we stand before the Lord Jesus. Not any of it is hidden. Now, if you're struggling today, and again, statistics say almost 70% of men are struggling, I want you to know God can help you. And God can give you victory. But you're going to have to ask for help, and you're going to have to make some radical choices. We have several men who are walking through various Bible studies and book studies right now, and you could join them, and 6 months from now, you could be living in victory. And I can't tell you what that would do for you. I can't tell you what it would do for your marriage. I can't tell you what it would do for your church, but it would be only good things. Amen. I'd encourage you to get some help. Let's be honest, pornography is hardly the only sin available on our phones, okay? The online world breeds consumerism, narcissism, insecurity, digital deceit and dishonesty. It breeds gossip, sowing discord, greed, laziness, and a host of other sins. Psychologists tell us that there is a direct correlation between the amount of time that a person spends online and the amount of depression they have in their lives. Think about that. If possible, we need to learn how to be holy and have a smartphone, right? Amen. But if it's not possible, we just need to learn how to be holy and not have a smartphone. Amen. Philippians 2:15 says that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. And may God help us to be holy people again. I want you to notice the last thing tonight. Our phones reveal our devotion to worship. They reveal our devotion to God. They reveal our devotion to holiness. But they also reveal our devotion to worship. I want everybody to turn with me to John chapter 4, if you would. John chapter 4. If you remember the story, Jesus must needs pass through Samaria. He encounters a woman, and they are going to have quite a conversation. And this conversation is going to be centered on worship. Look at John chapter 4. We'll begin our reading in verse number 7. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto them, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou this living water? Look at verse 13. Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, go call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had 5 husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband, and that thou sayest truly. The woman saith unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship. Salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah is coming, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. Now, this very famous conversation centers around a well and some water. Jesus uses the well and the water as a metaphor to picture the woman's worship disorder. She's physically thirsty, so she comes to the well in the middle of the day to get a drink of water. But Jesus uses her physical thirst to describe her spiritual thirst. And that's what the conversation with the woman was about her husband. For all of her life, this woman had been looking to men and to relationships as a means of satisfying her soul. When she was sad, she looked to a man. When she was lonely, she went to a man. When she was happy, she went to a man. When she needed affirmation or approval, she looked to a man. And at this point in her life, at least 5 times, she's been greatly disappointed. You say, this lady had a man problem. No, she didn't. She had a worship problem. She was looking for men and relationships to do for her what only God could do for her. That's why Jesus said, come to me and get a drink of living water and you will never thirst again. You were made by God and for God, and nothing less than God can ever satisfy you, Samaritan woman. Now here's what I want you to think about. In 2022, we use our phones the way the Samaritan woman used men. When we're sad, where do we go? Online. When we're happy, where do we go? Online. We want everybody to know about it. When we're craving affirmation or approval, what do? We post a pic on Instagram or share a thought on Facebook so someone will like it or share it. When we're lonely, we go to our phones. When we're anxious, we go to our phones. And so much of our online activity is little more than a lonely person wandering to the well of Samaria in the middle of the day, disillusioned and disappointed and looking for someone or anything that will pay attention to them or satisfy their souls. What we're reminded of here is that no matter what version of the iPhone you have, no matter how many followers you have on social media or how many achievements you unlock on your favorite game, none of them can fill you. And none of them can make you whole. To be honest, the amount of time that we spend on our phones and what we look for our phones in the online world to do for us indicates that we too have a worship disorder. You know, folks, people who really worship the true and living God can turn off their phones for half an hour to read the Bible and pray. They don't have to post on social media every single day. They don't go scrolling through Amazon for hours thinking that happiness is going to come in a brown box 2 days later. People who worship God gather with the Lord's people on the Lord's day in actual time and space. Amen. You know what God's looking for tonight? Some true worshipers. Some people who will look to Him when they're lonely. Some people who will look to Him when they're anxious. Some people who will look to Him when they need affirmation or approval. Some people who will look to Him when they're afraid. So I want you to just think about your phone for a minute. It's a piece of glass. What it's really showing you is what's in your heart. What's it show you about your devotion to God? What does it show you about your own personal holiness tonight? What does it show you about what you really worship and where you're really looking for satisfaction in life? Have you ever really stopped to think about the power that it has over you? Are there some habits that need to change in your life tonight? As we close, I want to give you just a few very practical suggestions for how you can start some new habits and rhythms in your life. And learn to love the Lord your God with your smartphone and your devices. So just a few practical suggestions, and we'll be done tonight. Number one, very practically, turn off all non-essential notifications. It's the notifications that are really distracting us and drawing our attention when it needs to be elsewhere. So learn to turn them off. Secondly, delete any and all apps that you have used to sin. or that you use to regularly waste time. Number three, just practical, use a real alarm clock. So that way you're not tempted when you wake up in the morning to spend 30 minutes on Twitter when you ought to be in the Bible. Number four, you have your personal devotions before you go online. Next, answer emails and text messages at pre-planned times throughout the day. Not every text message is an emergency. And not every email has to be responded to 10 minutes after you get it. This is a big problem for me. You can imagine I get a lot of emails and a lot of text messages, and I do. So what I've had to decide is that I'm only going to answer emails and text messages 3 times a day. And I'll do it in a batch, and I'll try to get back to everybody in a day, but I'm only going to do it 3 times a day. I cannot be on my phone all day long. Here's another suggestion. Invite your spouse or close friends to offer you feedback on how much time you're really spending on your phone. And if your children or your spouse tell you, "Daddy, Mommy, you spend so much time on that phone and not enough time with me," please listen to them. Next, do not look at your phone when you are sharing a meal with your family or friends. Those are the people that God has given you to love and share your life with, not some random person who lives in another state that you've had 2 online conversations with. Those are the people you should take care of. Next, when you are at church or at a social gathering, power off your phone or leave it in the car. And lastly, throughout the year, take a few digital fasts. Have a digital detox time. And use the time that you would be on Facebook or Twitter or scrolling through your phone to commune with God. We fast from food for that purpose, so we can go without food and spend that time praying and spending time with God. Let's be honest, we spend a lot more time on our phones than we do eating these days. So maybe a digital fast would be even more appropriate than a fast from food. As we close tonight, I just wrote down a prayer that symbolized and really fleshed out the desires of my heart and the conviction that I felt after studying this very message. Here's what I wrote. God, help me to love you with an undistracted, undefiled heart. I want you to be pleased with the amount of time that I spend on my phone, with the way that I use it, and with my expectations for what it can and cannot do for me. God, please don't allow my idolatry to rob me of moments of deep communion with you and the people that you have called me to love. That's my prayer tonight, and perhaps it would be yours too. Let's pray. Father, I'm so thankful that there are some scriptures we can turn to that will help us understand even unfolding technology in the year 2022. This smartphone revolution happened so suddenly. We weren't prepared for it. Nobody really taught us how to use it and about the dangers and the potentials of it. And Lord, many of us are addicted. Our thought processes have changed. We've lost our ability to focus, to read, to listen to a message, to spend time in prayer with you. Some of us are being changed in some ways that are not productive to our spiritual growth. And we need to make some definite decisions tonight about how we're going to use our smartphones for your glory. Lord, we recognize with these smartphones we can do tremendous good. We can keep up with people. We can read our Bibles. We can even use our phones to lead people to Christ all across the world. So perhaps, Lord, the wise thing to do is not just to chunk it in the ocean. Perhaps the wise thing to do is to think very diligently and to ask your Holy Spirit to help us how we might manage these things in a way that shows we truly love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you're here tonight, let's all stand. If you're here tonight and you don't know Christ as your Lord and Savior, that's what it's all about. That woman of Samaria was looking to men and to relationships to satisfy her soul. It wouldn't work. Let me tell you, nothing we look to this side of heaven could ever satisfy our souls. Only Jesus can satisfy. What she needed that day was living water. And if you would come to Jesus, he would give you living water and you would never thirst again. So why don't you come tonight and ask the Lord Jesus to save you? We'd love to meet you here and show you from a Bible how you can be saved tonight. If God is speaking to you, or you just want to make the decision, I want to be more wise in how I use my phone, why don't you find a place at this altar? Brother Corey is going to lead us in a few verses. You come tonight.